This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of both World Ministries International and Eagle Saving Nations. Please go to my website, worldministries.org. That is worldministries.org, and check it out. We've got to have another great awakening or the Republic will fall. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me my friend, Don Beasley. He's an apostolic leader, and he pastors a great church. Don, tell him where you're at.
I'm in Dixon, Illinois. It's hometown of Ronald Reagan. So we're kind of northern Illinois.
And the name of your church again?
Turning Point City Church.
If you're in that area, check it out. I want to talk a little bit about the great falling away. Jesus said when he returns, you know, he said, "Will I find faith?" And everywhere I go, Don, I mean, my heart is breaking because, you know, faith, the true word of God, a lot of times it's not being preached. I mean, it is so convoluted, so twisted, so warped. I mean, you got half of the churches now involved with alternate lifestyles, ordaining homosexuals as priests, bringing drag queens into the church. 12% of youth pastors have a biblical worldview. My goodness, Don, we are in trouble.
Yeah, we're in quite a mess. I mean, when you think about what the scripture says about this, what we call apostasy, you know, when you look at 2 Thessalonians, it tells us that when we're talking about coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together of the church to himself. So we're talking about when things are starting to wrap up and the end of time. And we don't really like to, we talk about the end of time, but I'm not sure we believe it's going to come to an end. And I think that's why the Bible says that it's going to be like a thief coming in the middle of the night. Even for the people who are looking for it, it's going to come like a shock because we still think we got forever. But he said that he asked you not to soon be shaken in 2 Thessalonians, let your mind be troubled. By word or by letter. So he's saying that there's by spirit, word, or letter. So he said there's a spirit of this in the age, and then there's people who are speaking this, and then there's people who are writing about it. And he said, and they're doing it as if though they're Orthodox or they're from us, and they're not. And he says, because this day, don't let one deceive you, because the day won't come unless this falling away comes first. So there has to be this falling away, And so there is this going on, and because he said that the man of sin has to be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that's worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So there's this, what you see here is this picture going on here, where there's this actual, it's the same biblical narrative that's been going on from the very beginning, where Satan wants to exchange himself, and he wants to become God over humanity, God over the earth, and exchange places with God. And so there's this spiritual war that's going on in the realm. But, you know, it's really weird how we become so, in every culture, we become so accustomed to it that we're kind of like that, you know, we're like the frog in the kettle. You know, we just sit there and we're boiling now, we're cooking, our eyeballs are popping out, and we're still denying that it's happening.
Oh, you're so correct. You're so correct. You know, Paul, remember when he was on his way to Jerusalem in Acts 20, he made a stop at Ephesus. He called a special meeting of all the leaders of the church. Mm-hmm. He told the Ephesians solemnly, quote, "This is the last time I'll see you, and this will be my final message to you. You're not going to see my face after this." Then he delivered his last message to the Ephesians. He told them, "I've been with you before. You know what I stand for. I've served with you with humility and tears. I preached in your church, and from house to house, I've done all under great trials and persecution. I've kept nothing back from you." Then with tears, he gave them this sober warning. "For 3 years now, I've warned you night and day with tears about what I see coming to the church after I'm gone. Now I want you to hear this warning one more time." That's Acts 20:31. And he's talking about guarding the sheep from heresy entering into the church, twisting the true gospel into nothing but lasciviousness, and men destroying the Church of Jesus Christ, raping it, abusing it. And that's where we're at today.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, when you think of the word, like what he was worried about there, they were talking about this falling away or apostasy that we call it. But the word comes from a word. The word means to defect from the truth. It means to fall away from the truth or to forsake the truth. And in this deflecting, it means change direction and go a different way. And what I found interesting of this word apostasy is the derivative of a word that's called, it's called apostasian. It's derivative of the word that's called ephstemiai, and it's akin to the word remove, revolt, desert, refrain, withdraw. It's where the basis of the word divorce comes from.
Well, you're right. And Paul was so concerned. I mean, you know, his heart cry is, you pastors, you shepherds, take heed, be on guard for yourselves and for your people. Mm-hmm. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. In other words, you overseers, you bishops, you leaders, feed your flocks, prepare them, fill them with God's pure word. Savage wolves and deceivers are coming. They're going to take aim at the weak sheep.
Exactly. I mean, and there's always, and this has been the story out throughout the Bible. In Israel, there's a passage in Jeremiah, and I think again in Ezekiel, where God starts calling out. He calls out governors, satraps. He goes outside of the priests, and he calls all of them shepherds. And he calls them false shepherds because he said, you're eating the flesh of my people. You're just, you know, you're just abusing them for your own purposes. And so it's a thing that's going on. And what I think is amazing, when Paul was telling that at the end of Paul's life there, when he's in Ephesians at the end there, he said that his life is now being laid down. And he said he's run his course. He's finished his race. And he said, there's now laid up for me a crown of glory, which the Lord Jesus himself will give unto me. And I did some study on that whole thing. And the crown of glory is an amazing, it's what you're talking about. The men who will receive a crown of glory in eternity are the men who have laid down their life with the shepherd as a under shepherd for the sake of the sheep. Not those who, it's not how big it was. It's about protecting the sheep, understanding that, like, it's like David said, you know, he said, Goliath's no problem because I already killed the bear and I already killed the lion protecting the sheep. And he was looking at the same thing. This is just an uncircumcised Philistine who's messing with God's sheep, and he's no big deal to me. And so God's looking for warriors in this thing who will stand up and say, you know, and that's, I think that's where I find the biggest problem with this, is that when you get to these men that I say are weak in this, they don't stand on a firm foundation of the Word of God about what they believe in. They're willing to. Like trade or sacrifice almost any doctrine that they have, and these whole things are what I would consider to be called doctrines of demons.
Well, you're right. I mean, if we want to just continue with Acts 29-31, he says, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch." Then at that point, Paul pointed out to them, right now you are a blessed church. You are a faithful people, a powerful body of believers. You have a strong foundation. Christ also would later say this about the Ephesians in Revelation. He told them, you're patient and fruitful. You don't put up with evil. You expose false preachers. Done? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's in the same thing. You find some more of that in the Revelation when he's talking about the seven churches there. He says, you know, you've curried out those who are false apostles and false teachers and false prophets, and there's this kind of stuff in there. And I think it kind of goes back. I think every generation has to answer the same question. When you're walking with God, you have to, are we going to walk with the true God and his revealed, how he has revealed himself, or are we going to walk with a false God that we create, or that we, you know, create ourselves, or make up one that's better, that we like better, or that's easier to get along with, or whatever? And I think that goes back to it. We're in the same place. I think when I read this passage of scripture, like when I think about Amos and especially Amos in there, and you look at the book of Amos, it's almost like you're reading today because he's going in and he's asking them, why are you doing this? What's this stuff doing in the house of God and whatever? And they tell him to go away. You're just a sheep herd or whatever. You're no prophet of God. Go back to your people. Get away from here. And that's really what happens today. There's the false prophets. And I'm careful when I say this. I don't want to make everybody into a false prophet or everybody into a false apostle. But the reality is that there are false ones and they bring detestable things into the house of God. And what I find amazing about truth and error is this. I see God with truth and I try with my hardest. And so if you came to my church and you question me about something we're doing or a teaching that we're doing or anything like that, I'm not going to immediately just fault you and tell you get away from me, whatever. I'm going to listen to you because truth can handle any kind of assault that would come at it. It'll stand up. It'll answer all the questions. And at the end of the day, it still stands on its own. It's error that gets its feathers ruffled when you question what it's doing. And so when the person immediately ruffles when you question what they're doing or why it is, that I always know that you're probably dealing with deception, error, if not outright lies.
No, you're right. I mean, Paul, he says, as blessed you are, your church won't be spared unless you heed my warnings. Mm. You're going to see an ungodly, perverse ministry arise and make merchandise of the flock. Christ gave the Ephesians the same warning in Revelation 2. You've left your first love. Repent, lest I take away your lampstand, your glowing witness to the world. I mean, we have a responsibility, Don, as true ambassadors, watchmen, apostles, we have a responsibility to guard the bride of Christ, to take heed, if necessary, to point out false prophets.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I, like what we're talking about right now, like in Jeremiah, God asked the Israel, they're in the promised land now, and they've driven out. So they come in this land where there's all these, all kinds of pagan gods, multiple gods, whatever. And God says, I want you to go out. I want you to go back across the river. And I want you to look at any of those pagan nations and ask, have they ever changed their God? And then he asks him, he says, what fault did your fathers find in me? So today, the question we have to ask our the whole culture, America, needs to say, what fault have we found in God that established us? Exactly what fault do we have with him? I mean, what did he not give us that we wanted? And then it said they followed worthless idols and they became worthless themselves. And that's the whole thing. Then he goes on to talk about, you know, because the idols can't speak, they can't hear, they can't do anything. But then he goes, they did not ask, where's the Lord? And I think that's the question today, that the cry of the righteous is, where is the Lord? Like my wife, you know, she hates injustice more than anybody I know. I don't know anybody who's more, gets upset with, she sees injustice of any kind. I mean, I have to watch myself because she'll just flat call me out right now. And so, because it just gets her so messed up. But she's always asking, where's the Lord? That's her first question. Where is the Lord? Why doesn't he do something? And so that's what Jeremiah was saying, that the people did not ask, where is the Lord? And then he, you know, did you all this stuff. He said, you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable as well. And that's what he's saying is, when you turn away from me and you don't consult with me and you don't follow what I've given you to do, then you defile yourself in the land I've given you. And he says, you make my inheritance, and the inheritance of God is future generations of children of God. He said, and you defile my inheritance and make it detestable to me. And then he says, the priest did not ask, where is the Lord? And he said, those who deal with the law, they don't even know me. And the leaders rebelled against me, and the prophets prophesied falsely. Then God says, I'm going to bring charges against you, declares the Lord. And I'll bring charges against your children and your children's children. So now he's saying, I'm going to go to your grandchildren and to your great-grandchildren. It's going to go. And then he says, then he tells him to go do this, and he asks him, has a nation ever changed its God? He said, but you are. And he said, you commit two sins by doing this. The first one, you forsake me. You forsake means you divorced me. that this apostasy is, we need to really call it what it is, because we're getting, what we're saying is we in 1992, I wrote a very extensively about the what I called the pet sins of the evangelical church and the Pentecostal church, which were fornication and adultery. We were treating them as if they were no problem. Men could get divorced from their wives and stay in the pulpit, and nobody, no prophet would call them out, no apostle would call them out. I was catching all kinds of flack because they were saying to me, and these apostles and whatever, well, you think everybody who falls to sin in the pulpit ought to become a used car salesman. I said, I didn't say that. I just said they can't stay in the pulpit. They have to leave the pulpit. I mean, if they had cared one iota about the pulpit before they did this, they wouldn't have never done it. And you leave them in there, and because they say, well, we didn't call them, we can't take them out or whatever, which is completely bogus according to scriptures. But he said, so there's this, what we need to understand, and I caught so much flack in that time about it, because my statement was this: if we don't deal with the sin in our house, which was not, like we send our daughters out to prom and these different dances dressed like prostitutes, and we don't say anything about it. Nobody wanted, if you say anything about it, you got something wrong with you. You're like judgmental or whatever. And so I begin to say, they say, oh, you're just a judgmental legalist. And I said, that's okay. I'd rather be judgmental legalist than lawless. I mean, you have no legal law at all. So he said, so what's happening today is in 92, I said, if we don't deal with this, in the very near future, we're going to have no voice on human sexuality. And that's exactly what's happened. And so now when all this stuff starts coming down the pike, we have today, you know, forget about homosexuality and lesbianism. Now we're into the whole trans thing, you know, where we have this whole deal going on where there's no males and no females. There's only androgyny, you know, which is a doctrine of demons.
Yes, yes.
And we're inviting it into the church. Like where we can clean that doctrine up and make it, you know, we can make that holy, and you really can't. So he said, the first thing you've done is you've divorced me, number one. And he said, then you've dug your own cisterns. You forsake me, the living water, and you deal these cisterns. And he basically says, instead of having living water flowing up out of your being, you're creating a cistern inside that's a stagnant pool of death. And that's the sin you've committed. And out of that stagnant pool of death, we're trying to tell people they can have a righteous relationship with God. And it's just not true.
You're so right. Matthew 7:15, Jesus also warned of their coming. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's the bride of Christ. He is mm-hmm. deeply concerned. You and I are deeply concerned. Paul was deeply concerned with tears and travail, deeply concerned. I am deeply concerned. I just grieve over what's going on today in the body of Christ, Don.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, but when I believe Dr. Hansen, in the depths of my heart, as much as I see what's going on, there's a heart inside of me. And I mean, we need to speak to that, and we need to call it out, and we need to do everything we can to speak to it. But what I'm seeing happening on the other side, it was about 8 years ago, I had these dreams. I must have had this dream like 40 or 50 times over every, I became so, it was so overwhelming to me. I would have a hard time going to sleep at night because I'd say, Lord, please don't let me have that dream tonight. And then I'd have this dream, and it was just, and you would think what was so wrong, but it was people as far as you could see. I mean, all the way out to the horizon. I'm talking like billion people, more than you can imagine. And as far as you can see, as far as you left, they're just coming. And they would hit these church buildings. There were church buildings out there on the horizon. They would come to these church buildings, and then there would be nothing there. They'd just be gone. And I would just be overwhelmed, like, what can you do? This is overwhelming. And what was really, I became made aware of is that these people are seeking God. So like when you're talking about the passage that says there's become a famine of the hearing of the word of God in the land, and people are going coast to coast or whatever, it's kind of that part of it. And they were looking, because as this stuff gets worse and worse, there's going to be a whole segment of society that's going to become so hungry for God because the Holy Spirit is still dealing with people. And they're going to come to these churches, and these churches have no idea how to get them to God.
Totally.
They're trying to give their little trinkets and whatever. They can't cast out a demon. They can't deal with any of this kind of stuff. They can't pray for healing. They can't pray for deliverance for people. They don't know. They actually don't even think it exists.
Yeah.
And so they try to tell me, just calm down, you'll be okay. And what was happening is these places were just being wiped out because of that. And then I'd wake up over and over and over. And then after that, then one night I woke up and now I'm having an open vision. I never had the dream again, but I'd be driving down the road. I'd have this vision of the same thing. I'd have to pull over. So what I said all that to say that I believe, and I've witnessed this the last couple of weeks, maybe a year ago, this lady was a Muslim lady that lived behind us. And my wife and I had ministered to her and her mother. And she lived with a guy and then ended up getting divorced. And then they moved away. Well, about a year ago, they'd been gone. That had been about maybe 6 years. Last year, she called on the phone. She, a couple times, wanted to get a meeting. So her and her new husband came in to meet us. And he had some kind of encounter with God, grew up Catholic, where the Lord just said, you know, you're living in sin. He goes, I grew up in the Catholic Church and no one told me what I'm doing is a sin. And he was so mad at him because of it, because yes. He's living here. And he goes out, and what had happened is he told his wife, I can no longer sleep with you. They lived in a big house. And so he slept in a spare bedroom for 2 months till they got over to see us because he didn't know what to do because he said, I can't do this. We're sinning. So anyway, they gave their life to Christ, doing very, very well. Her ex-husband, this past week, she sent us a text and said, can he come to church? Because he's an atheist, something happened. He almost died.
Wow.
So he came to church last Sunday and he's getting his life straightened out. He said he's coming back and he just really want, you know, it's really kind of weird. Another guy that was away sent his wife or him and they came to church or they're gone. And, you know, they're calling me. They're way far away on the East Coast now. And they called us and we ministered to them some, prayed for them, sent him the message from last week. So you need to watch this. It's just amazing. And what's happening is more and more and more people are seeing the truth and they're just responding. I have to get myself right with God. So at the same time, we need to call out all this stuff over there, but we need to make sure we keep our mind focused on the righteousness of God. And because there's going to be an ingathering of harvest that I think is going to blow our minds.
Well, there's going to be. We're facing the greatest harvest, but we're also facing the greatest trouble that the world has ever seen.
Oh, absolutely.
So that comes together. And, you know, I had in April 2020, 25 dreams, civil unrest, civil war, and an invasion. 25 dreams. Civil unrest, it's been constant. BLM, Antifa, Hamas, civil war, all of my people in authority, whether it's law enforcement or in Congress, we are on the brink of real bullets. An invasion, 10 to 15 million illegal aliens, 600,000 Chinese of fighting age, Hezbollah, the Syrians, Hamas, Russians. I mean, we have an invasion, cartels.
Mm-hmm.
Don,
we're already here.
We are right on the brink of chaos as America has never seen it. You know, I'm a member of the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus. I'm going to fly to Israel to meet in the Knesset soon. And but I'll tell you what, I mean, Hamas is dedicated to wipe out every Jew on earth and then the Christians. And yet you have protesters in favor of Hamas and what they stand for. That this is how messed up America is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what we don't understand, that that only takes one generation to wipe out an entire culture and the things of God. You know, that. And it's put many places in the Bible where we see that, and we've seen these different things are happening over and over and over again. And, you know, and that's why the Bible takes so much care to tell us. I mean, the greatest scriptures tell us that we should train up our children in the ways of the Lord. And it literally says, you talk to them about God whenever you sit in your house, you stand by the way, you walk down the road, when you go to bed at night, you can't talk about God enough to your kids. And even when Joshua goes into Israel and you get to Gideon, one generation away, and their children didn't even know what happened, what God had done for Israel, because somehow we just think that it's not important. And so today I see this happening on a grand scale. It's been happening for a while. And we see it happening right now. And like you keep hearing these things, like if you, they say that there's a rise, the largest growing groups of people religiously in America are the nuns and the duns. And they're all a product of the whole deconstructionist movement. So we've had deconstructionists, not just church. We have a whole movement of Marxists that are trying to deconstruct the United States Constitution and government going on. And so out of this deconstruction, you get these people that says that I'm done with America, I'm done with God, I'm done with church, I'm done with this, I'm done with this. But they don't even know the truth.
Totally.
And then you have the people who are nuns, which they're saying, I've left church, I've left this, I've left the Republican Party, I've left the Democrat Party, I'm none, no more. I'm not a part of anything anymore. And so the two-thirds of the young people in America will leave the church once they're on their own because the church has not been reaching children properly. And in 1985, the Lord told me, I was praying for young people, and the Lord told me in the clearest voice I've ever heard, He said, young people that are coming will not live for a gospel that they're not ready to die for. And then he asked me, are you preaching a gospel to die for?
Amen. You know, the prophet Ezekiel talks about the wolves. He says there's conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. They have vexed the poor and the needy. Ezekiel 22, 25, 27, and 29. Now, I want to close with this. This is what David Wilkerson said. Show me a preacher who never exposes sin, who doesn't show people the difference between the holy and the profane, who doesn't mention repentance or judgment, but instead says, God wants to make you rich and prosperous. And I'll call such a man what he is. He is a wolf. He has substituted the cross for cash. Closing comments, Don, we have 30 seconds.
Yep, that's absolutely true, my friend. We need the answer to this is to preach the gospel to people, to call them to repentance, and release the Holy Spirit of God's power in the church through deliverance, miracles, and healing like the world has never seen. It's the only thing that'll prove to people that God's alive.
You've been watching The Warning Program or listening to it. This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, Apostolic Leader. Don Beasley was with me today. WorldMinistries.org, WorldMinistries.org, WorldMinistries.org. Help us to stay on your local program. God bless you.